Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dabless part 2 of the writing strike debacle. Yeah, well, it's more than that now, isn't it?
Yes, now it is a full-blown actors and writers strike.
It's a wild, wild world out there in Hollywood. I mean, Cillian Murphy, Florence Pugh, Emily Blunt, and Matt Damon walking out of Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I believe they're not allowed to do anything. Like, no promotion whatsoever.
Yeah, nothing at all. Nolan himself said he's not going to be making any new movies until this is resolved. He's not going to make anything.
So yeah, I mean, isn't he WGA, probably? I imagine he's also a writer.
Yeah, he is. What a man. So there's so much. I mean, I feel like I saw so much and all these big names. I'm like, yo, I never thought any of these people would be doing any of these things. No offense to them, right? But like, when I heard that the actors were joining, I didn't think it was gonna be big names. I thought there were gonna be names that would be like, we're too big for this.
No, it seems like the thing with SAG is like it's everybody in America. Yeah. Unless you're from Europe, you know.
Yeah, if you're in Europe, you're dealing with a whole different kind of worms.
Yeah, you don't want to also get in the way of the union, because like that might kill your career, bro. Like, seriously, that might be worse than getting canceled.
Yeah, you're just not getting anything. You walk into a room, they're like, oh, you're that guy. Sorry, we got nothing for you, pal. Keep stepping.
And that's how the business, like, survives. Like, I'm talking, like, the business of writers, the business of actors, even crew members, everybody. They're all under a union. And that's how you make sure that people get paid as long as, like, the film and TV industry has been going. You just have to be under a union.
Yeah, you just have to be under some kind. If you're not under any kind of union, I guess you wouldn't be. You effectively wouldn't be getting work, right?
Yeah. Do you know if there's a South African TV film union thing?
Actually, I'm not entirely sure. Let me even see that. I don't know if there is one.
Yeah, because
they should be.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Like, how do you stop like producers from like lowballing people with like?
So the South African one is literally SAG with an extra A, SAGA, South African Guild of Actors.
Nice, SAGA.
Saga.
Nice. Saga.
Yeah. But yeah, Saga.
That's pretty cool.
I can imagine how that goes for like someone writing a story. Yeah, so there's the Saga regarding Saga,
Saga. There's the Saga regarding Saga. That's actually like a mouthful right there.
It's a mouthful as hell, man. But no, let's. Before we dive too deep, I saw this tweet. That Mark Ruffalo threw out. What's this? Where he's like, where he says, "How about we all jump to indies now?"
Bro, is he serious, bro? The guy who's Hulk, is he serious? Because the indies don't have money.
Oh man, this is crazy. He's got all the money. And then I read an interesting fact as well. Something that said 63 years ago, Ronald Reagan led the first double strike that had actors and writers.
Yeah, Ronald
back in
Reagan was
the 60s.
the SAG president, wasn't he? Before he was
Oh.
it before he became president, president?
I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Dude.
Oh, I think always U.S. presidency actually, which is that's wild.
So that guy just loved being president, didn't he? He's just like, I want to be the president. First it was SAG, then he was like, I want America now.
I changed the game in film. No, I now want to change the game everywhere.
The strike you're talking about, that was like in the 60s, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I believe that was it could probably TV, I'm guessing.
I think it was well, let me see. I have it here. In 1960, the industry experienced its first joint walkout between the Actors Guild, SAG hyphen AFTRA, and the Screenwriters Union, Writers Guild of America. The WGA went on strike beginning January 16, 1960, before SAG began their own strike on March 7th, 1960, while the latter ended picketing in on 18 April 1960, the former lasted until June 12th, 1960.
That's not a good sign for the writers.
No, it is not.
But I mean,
No, it
you
is
kind
not.
of expect that, don't you? Like right now, as soon as the actors strike happened, like immediately, even things that were already in production, they immediately stopped. Like, because now you don't have actors. Even if you have scripts, it doesn't matter. Who's gonna read
Doesn't
those
matter.
scripts?
If you're talking about stuff immediately stopping, Last of Us stopped, White Lotus, Emily in Paris, Gladiator 2 out in Morocco stopped filming, and
Wolverine, Deadpool.
yeah, Wolverine, Deadpool gone, so many things. Actors just like saying screw all the premieres.
Imagine what that to a film that's coming out right now, dude.
Dude,
And I'm like,
dude.
and I also don't know like what happens to indie films. Like what happens then? Because those films need a bump.
Yeah, though those films do need that they do need that support, you
I
know,
wonder if
like.
you're releasing a film that's not like attached to a major studio, maybe you can like talk to the like SAG and WGA. Maybe like you're gonna be like, hey, listen, we're not attached to anybody. We're just a small group of people. Can you just let us do this? That might be a possibility.
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like it's out of your possibility. I mean, you if you're a small organization or something, you obviously would be trying to not skim people on money, you know, because I think everyone involved in that project would know that it's like we're not working with like a gigantic budget. This is where all the money's going, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And yeah, so it'll be easier for them, but would they be allowed to is the question.
I think everything that like if you need any special permission right now, you have to just ask. Just ask about it. I feel like the Screen Actors Guild is not like they're not like assholes or something. You can just ask. Like that's the feeling that I'm getting when I look online, like a lot of the things,
Yeah.
just ask and they'll tell you what's happening. Also like I don't feel like their focus is indie films. Seems like if the focus in 1960s was the new technology at the time, like TV, and I believe Writers Guild had another strike 1980s, which was DVDs. So the big one right now is big old streaming.
You are
Netflix.
streaming right.
Yeah, Residuals seem like the big topic right now, though.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Mr. Hulk, he said something very interesting. I think it was also a tweet. He said something about cutting out the fat cats. Was a direct quote, I think, somewhere along those lines. But he used the word fat cats, or words, plural.
Yeah, I think he's just talking about the fact that, like, I don't know if you saw this, like, this like video going around, like, not even videos, but like articles talking about Bob Iger and what he said about the strikes, and people just pointing out, like, he made millions. He made literal millions. And meanwhile, it's like everybody thinks of actors as, like, you know, Scarlett Johansson, like, huge mega blockbuster, like, actor who makes like 20 million on the biggest films that they do, right? But that's not everybody. That is like the top 0.1%. Like, the rest of them, like, they gotta be jumping from thing to thing. That's why you see certain actors, you just like, oh, I saw that guy in that movie. And I saw him in this one. And then I saw him in that one. They have to keep doing that. And let's not even talk about writers, bro. Writers are struggling. It's a major, major struggle.
Writers are struggling as heck, man, dude. I mean, if you go back to what Bob Iger says, what is it during the what I see online is being called the summer camp for billionaires, right? Which to me was like so funny, but it was so true as well, right? Bob Iger is the one who called them unrealistic and disruptive, and then there's a one of his former staffers came out and talked about how it's their greed and refusal to pay people what they're worth that pretty much got people to where they are now. That it's not something that just happened overnight, where people woke up and they were like, you know what, I feel like striking. It's been something that's been building for years and years, and this is just, it just happens to be the point where people got up and they were like, you know what, I'm actually fucking tired of this now,
dude.
You know,
it's freaking time that it happens, because you look at what Bob Iger and other big producers are making. Like, they're making crazy amounts of money, like probably like hundreds of times what everybody else is making. Like, I feel like there's projects where you can put all the money that the writers and the actors are making, you can put it together and it still doesn't touch like what Bob Iger made in a year. And he's making crazy money. How do you call these people unrealistic, bro? It's insane to me.
Dude, it's like the one thing that I've always wondered about, like, billionaires and whatnot, is when they're making all this money and, like, not giving other people what they're worth, do they just enjoy, like, just looking at all that money and going, ah, all the money, it's just sitting there. Look at it, it's just sitting there.
It's just, that is capitalism, isn't it? It's just like, it's just squeezing as much as you can from people who don't make much already. That's what it is.
Right.
It's like, hey, dude, you know those poor guys over there? Like, how can we make sure that we just keep them as low as we can? Just keep them as poor as we can, as we can make them. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man, it's crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about, because I mean, I think it was Tom Cruise. I mean, if you think about where it actually, like, the starting point, essentially, I feel like began when the what are they? Oh, when the special effects guys started. when this very when all the stuff started coming up, out about how people that do special effects for basically everything have been getting peanuts and have these crazy deadlines and like it's just really terrible working environments. I feel like at that point people were like, oh, that sounds horrible, but good luck with you on that. I mean, good luck though. It sounds horrible. And then now it's at a point where it's like people are starting to see the residual effects on everyone, that it wasn't just that isolated little group of people that make everything look great, complaining and saying, hey, we actually don't have it that great. I mean, I know the movie looks amazing, but you don't know how many fingers I broke to get to make this happen. It's now everyone going, yeah, but like I'm also not getting that much. I know I put out a great performance, but yeah, the performance didn't match the money, you know.
Yeah, that's real true. That VFX stuff showed people just like how difficult this industry is. And I think it was maybe easier for people to like relate to that than like an actor complaining about like pay. Like when Sydney Sweeney, who's on who plays Cassie on Euphoria, was like, oh, like I'm not making that much actually. I'm still living like paycheck to paycheck. People are like, what the hell are you talking about? You're on Euphoria. It's just, you want a normal job, you know, because that's what it looks like to us. It's like you're just complaining about nothing. You have the best job in the world. But when in reality, it's been clear for a while now that like studios have figured out a way to keep people, like to pay people much less, which is mostly because of the streaming like business. I feel like this, I've seen in the past week or so, I've seen people being like, I used to get a residual check that was like $4,000 for like some like not that popular show that was airing on TV, and then like a huge popular show on Netflix. And you get like just like a couple bucks or something, like $10, $20, like on your residual check, and it's like, what?
It's
How does that even work? How did it get here?
crazy
It's
because
crazy.
I can't remember whose name is attached to this, but I remember seeing I think I was reading something and someone's residual check was like $27.80 or something.
Yeah, that was Kimiko Glenn. She was an actress on Orange is the New Black, I believe.
Yes, it is. I'm like, what? Well, I what I make that on Upwork in like a week if I write right, and I'm still complaining about that.
And think of just how popular Orange is the New Black is, dude. Like that's the kind of show that used to have big residual checks. You know what I mean? Like big popular shows, that's how people would make money over time. Like that would keep them essentially going. You know, like that meant that like those times in between one movie or another movie or one show and another show, it meant that they still had something to fall back on. But imagine getting a check that says $27, dude. What the hell, dude? It's ridiculous.
I can't even like imagine like the rage and the anger.
They've basically changed the whole business. Like right in front of everybody's eyes. It's just that I think a lot of us who are out of the industry, like it's hard for us to like know what exactly what's happening, especially for the two of us who are like in completely different countries who don't even know that market very well. Like film and TV business has changed drastically, dude. Like on a drastic level. And even the basic stuff that the I think the SAG thing was coming out, like just asking for like a minimum just a raise of like the minimum payment for actors. Even that is like still a big negotiation when like there hasn't been one for ages. It's
Yeah,
just
yeah.
the studios are fighting tooth and nail for this shit, dude. It's a war.
It's insane to think that. And I mean, if you're talking like the basic what's this, the pay and whatnot, and everyone fighting for it. I remember, I think I read something about how Tom Cruise urged the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers to support the Writers Guild, or rather all the guilds' position on stunt performers, because stunt performers aren't having it great either, you know. But his bid was unsuccessful, and this was a month ago, before the actors had joined the strike.
Yeah, I believe he was trying to talk about AI as well, right? Like he was so even Tom Cruise coming in to the negotiations to try and like help matters, it didn't do shit, dude. So this is gonna be a tough fight, man. It's gonna be difficult.
Jeez.
Oh, and I think I read somewhere that like the AMPTP has not negotiated, like it has not gone to the table with the writers since the strike began. Like not at all. Like there's no discussions happening right now, which is the most scary thing. Like imagine like you haven't worked in months. Shit is so bad. But I believe there's like places where people can like donate to the cause, so that like for people who are struggling, like they can get a little something to help them out.
And it's crazy. It's crazy because mean, it's still going with like with like people who haven't worked in months, right? And how, I mean, personally, I mean, I think the both of us know how difficult it is to like to be living paycheck to paycheck, and trying to find a way out of that, or trying to work harder to not live paycheck to paycheck. Then you hear stuff like what Kimiko Glenn opened up about, about how during about how her and the other cast members in Orange Is the New Black had to literally have second jobs aside from being on set every other day in order to be able to actually keep living because of how bad the salaries were, right?
Which is
And
insane. It's
which is
one of the most
crazy.
popular shows ever.
Ever, dude. And you think about, I mean, Kimiko Glenn was in like 40 something episodes, right? And you're still having to have a second job while essentially coming out on TV every day, and people going, "Oh my gosh, you must be doing so great. I mean, the show is doing so great." And you're hearing Kimiko Glenn say, "I mean, we couldn't afford to get a cab to go to set."
That's what scares me the most about Netflix moving into, international markets. Like, what are they paying people, dude? Because I like, let's be honest here. Like, I know like South Africa has a union and whatever, but let's be honest, I'm sure we're years behind. I'm sure
Oh, dude,
that we're paying peanuts.
I'm pretty sure we're like I'm sure we're decades behind, and I'm looking at the fact that there's so many shows that are being made by Netflix Africa, like purely South African content. And some of them are popular Africa wide and even beyond that. And I've been thinking, man, to like, does that mean like, since it's bad for Netflix International, Is it essential? I mean, it surely has to be essentially the same thing, this side. And I mean, knowing what we both know about South Africa from a corruption standpoint, this wouldn't be anything. It totally would be. Not that I'm trying to get my balls cut off here or anything, but I can almost confidently say for a fact it is probably worse here,
You
right?
thinking there's some skimming off the
Yeah, I promise you they're skimming off the top before they even make a budget for like actors and equipment and sets and locations and whatever.
that is what
So
makes it dangerous, because Netflix doesn't they don't like negotiate on like American contracts. They basically go local companies and say, "You make this," so they pay according to that company's whatever that company's gonna do. So if they go to a Korea, like when they go to Korea, for example, it's like they go, "Hey, Korean companies, we want this made," and then they pay according to those companies. So there's people in like huge, huge shows, right, that you see on Netflix. And like Squid Game, like I don't know if that cast me that much, bro, because the owner of the story already came out and said that he didn't make much from it. So that means they probably didn't make anything either.
yeah, they I'm almost certain it didn't make much. And another crazy thing that I was thinking, I mean, if we're talking at it from a Korean standpoint, I was thinking of how many like Korean Netflix shows I see, and then you see and then I end up seeing so many of the same faces. Like I will watch a show and I'll see and I'll see this guy in the show, and then I'll watch, and then I'll jump onto the next show. Different genres, but like still from South Korea, released in 2023, literally like a month apart. And I'm thinking, damn, was this like, was this is this particular actor being made to have to hold down like three, four, five different acting jobs at the same time on different sets under the same company just to like put together a sizable paycheck.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. It's paycheck to paycheck, dude. Paycheck to paycheck.
Jeez, it is. It's I mean, if you're thinking resolution, right? Is there. Is there a light? Is there a way where people can, where some kind of fairness can be reached?
In terms of like SAG and WGA, yeah, for sure, that's going to be settled eventually. It's going to be tough. There's going to be some compromises, but they're going to find some sort of resolution there. But in terms of like internationally, no, I think Netflix and all the others are going to milk the international market. I think. Especially after what's happened with SAG and WGA, for sure, dude. They're gonna be like, this is where we can make the cheap stuff, because we can lowball all these people. That's probably what's gonna happen. It's pretty grim.
Jeez, it's pretty insane to think that, because I mean, I was like, I was checking something out earlier. Someone quoted Neil Gaiman. I'm not sure if this was like an old quote or like a new quote or whatever, but he was commenting on picket lines, because I think a fan had asked him, okay, cool, if like there's a strike going on with writers and actors, is it okay to still be going out and watching all this stuff like on streaming services and going to the theater and et cetera? And Gaiman said something about how said something about how people need to actually go and watch all this content. They need to, if they can reach a streaming service, they should reach that streaming service and watch everything that actors and writers are working hard to put out, because that money goes to help them. And surely it has to be an old quote, because it's not helping anybody. And then someone put a comment under that. Someone could put a comment under that, and they were like, "Okay, Mr. Gaiman, is it okay for me to go see Barbie today, or do I wait until until the strike is over?"
I think, I mean, wow, that's an interesting question, dude. I feel like, man, that's a difficult one, you know. I think you just go see the movies. I don't think you watching that film, like, because there's so many people that works on these films, man. Like, yes, the strike is happening, but that is being sorted. Like, studios are feeling that one way or another. So I don't think we need to worry ourselves about that stuff. We should just, see the movies that we want to see, because the studios are still paying the cost of the strike anyway, just by things being delayed a day, 2 days, or whatever. That's huge. That's a lot of money. That's m literally millions a day. So yeah, just go see your movies, man. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, like you said, it's a lot of people that work on these on these sets, right? And a lot of them, and I'm gonna talk about this from a from a from from I suppose a somewhat of a personal perspective without mentioning any names per se, right? But like in the company that I work for, right? I generally try to avoid conflict, because the position I am isn't the sort of position where I'm not replaceable, right? I of course I'd like to think I'm good at what I do, and I solve a lot of people's problem, and I solve a lot of problems that have nothing to do with me, problems that are in a higher position than the one that I occupy, right? And in solving that, I always feel like I'm sort of paving a way to avoid a lot of, oh yeah, if he does something totally, he can get away with it. But in the same instance, I always find myself being Jesus in a way, and being crucified for mistakes that happen that have nothing to do with me, but somehow should be quote unquote connected to the job. So if you're looking at it like that, if I was on set and I'm working a low level position of any kind, I'm not trying to be involved in any WGA stuff, because I'm thinking, man, if when this is done, and whatever studio or whatever specific person remembers, oh, you were involved in this, yeah? Why were you involved in it? Because like it had nothing to do with you. I think that's generally a reason why most people in lower positions don't are not trying to cause any trouble, because I mean, personally, I don't know any I can't name a stunt person off by head. Right, but I can name 25 actors, a bunch of writers, quite a few directors, but I can't name a stunt person off my head, or like a VFX guy off my head. Maybe I can name a company,
They
but
have
yeah.
much lower like, what is it called? I believe it's called bargaining power. Like, people in those positions have less bargaining power for sure. Like, they might not, like, an actor says, "I'm not working." That's it right there. That's game over. Nothing can be done. But I will say there are like other unions. Especially, like, I think that's a good thing about the. Are we back?
We are back.
I don't remember what I was talking about. I'll be honest.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the ad break has been sponsored to you by Nike,
Excuse
without
me?
an N, so it's Ike.
Wow, I mean, Jesus Christ, that would be great. Ooh. I'd even take free shoes.
Oh man. Right? I'll take all the free shoes. I mean, yeah, but you're talking about bargaining power, and
Yeah, I was saying
how stuff.
the we were talking about the lower crews, right? Like the stunt workers and the crews, people who do catering. I believe all of them do have unions, especially in America. But like the film and TV industry is just so well developed that I believe there's a union called IATSE. IATSE or something like that I forgot what it covers, but there's all these like sort of positions. So the key for those positions is to keep in the union. Like I think that's the way they can avoid like that issue that you were talking about there with like producers like singling out like a certain person and being like you. That's where like you gotta make sure there's a union behind you when you do anything, but otherwise, hey man, you might lose your job forever too. But yeah, what you said was pretty scary there. It's not the easiest thing to strike sometimes.
No, it's really not, because I mean, like you said, America has unions for everything. I feel like the first time I ever heard about the word union, I was watching some film, and there was a union for construction workers, and I was like, wait, what the hell is a union? And why are they is a union? I think it was a Martin Scorsese film. Or something,
Dude,
Goodfellas or something.
I'm surprised that that was your
I
first thing because, like, with the unions in South Africa boycott all the time. Cosatu is crazy.
yeah, and then it's only then when I started knowing about COSATU, and then I think my uncle is a part of a union there in the company that he works in, and occasionally whenever something goes down, they go to their union. I remember being like 12 or something at that point, and then learning about his union and how they went about things. Like, okay, cool. So, all right,
I've also
that's
seen,
that union.
I don't know if you've noticed this, we shouldn't spend too much time on this. I feel like this is sort of the end, but like I've noticed there's like these people online who are not part of SAG or WGA, and they've started like going after like people who do like reviews online for movies and stuff, like telling them, hey, you shouldn't like review struck films, basically like films that people are striking from right now. So films like Barbie, Oppenheimer, any of the big like studio releases. And I was wondering, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, just like a basic YouTube review, not like something sponsored or anything, just like a person doing a movie review.
Man. So, I mean, I don't even phase this. Look, I mean, movies that are already out, called the quote unquote strike films, as it's great to have the solidarity from the talent that is in that. And I think one of the other films that's on that list is Disney's Haunted Mansion. And that one is for obvious reasons. Iger said some very problematic things, right? It's great to have those actors that already have their paycheck sorted out, being like, okay, we're with you in this because we're definitely gonna be having a job in a little while, or they were probably in negotiation with some studio out there in the world about what they're gonna do next. But it does have a touch of pointlessness to it, right? I respect the people that are, I think I have a lot more appreciation, respect is the wrong word, a lot more appreciation for the guys on the set of Gladiator 2, because that's still ongoing. Halting that will hurt the studio a lot more because the studio invested money and indeed a certain amount of time in expectation to how long it's going to take to make that movie, and after that, and after the time allocated by the studio for the movie to be made, they would obviously be jumping into marketing for the film, because there's other guys that need to do that job. There's guys that still need to edit. There's people that still need to cut the trailer, and there's people that need to organize the different marketings for all around the world, and there's still negotiations that still need to happen with different regions of the world in terms of distribution, right? So that I feel like halting things that are already in production hurts a lot more for the studios than the films that are already out,
Yeah, way more.
and way more. And I feel like, personally, I feel like there should be a lot more big directors. We have all the big actors we need, but I feel like a lot more big directors stepping up and going, "Ayo, I'm not going to be making anything until this is resolved."
By the
Nolan
way,
is huge. Nolan is.
we kind of skipped over the fact that the directors quietly made a deal.
Yes, the directors quietly, which kind of sucks. I mean, I guess I'm even tr from two from a double-sided coin perspective. On the one side, it sucks huge because having the directors being able to back the actors and the writers, that would have been huge. But like on the other side of the coin, from a holistic perspective, I can understand them to a point. They're looking out for themselves and their own. You know,
Yeah, the truth about you directors is that all you want is just make your films, man. That's anything a director wants. Like, hey man, can I just make my movie? It's like, don't you worry about your pay and stuff. I just want to make my movie.
directors like, "You're gonna pay me $5? Do I get to make my movie?" The studio is like, "Yeah, okay, cool. Give me the $5, man." Right? That's
So
not that
simple
they
to
would take
please.
$5. Right, so it hurts a lot more for actors and writers because we're both writers. We know how much work goes into writing, right? Way before you even type the first letter in a word, you would have gone through so much like shit in your head. Not to mention the sleepless nights and the fucking random ass ideas that hit you out of nowhere, and you don't have a pen or your phone or whatever, and you're thinking, "Oh my God, am I going to remember this?" And the amount of work that comes in after you've written a thing, where you're thinking, "Is it good enough? How do I make it better?" And after you make this great piece of work and you give it to someone, and you fill with that nervousness while that person's reading it, and the person comes back and they're like, "Okay, this is actually pretty fucking great." And you're like, "Oh, it's great. Okay, cool.
But
Pay
then you
me."
need to
And the
change
person's like,
this and
"Yeah."
this and this and that and change that and change this and edit this and
Right, and the person's like, "Yeah, it's great. I'll pay you, but like, yeah, I'm not gonna pay you the money that you asked for. I'll pay you like 40% of that." And then the guy's like, "You know, actually, I'll pay you 30% of that, and like, I'll give you a tiny ass bonus."
In
And as a
fact,
writer, you're thinking,
they don't get paid at all. I heard that
don't.
the producers go to people, they get like a script or something, like you write the script, and then the producer takes it, and they're like, they give you changes to make to that script, so you take more time, maybe a month, making those changes on that script, still no pay, by the way, and then finally, if you're lucky, that script finally gets to a studio, and then once it gets to that studio, the studio maybe pays you a small amount and then replaces you with someone more famous.
You see that shit? You see that? I mean, think about that. You'd have spent like, I mean, if we're looking at how long
Month.
it would take to, I mean, months, dude. If we're talking, let's say on average 6 months of you writing this script, like if someone came up, just gave you a log line, and they're like, "Cool, here's the log line. Please make a script." And you spend 6 months. In that 6 months, you're not getting paid. Let's assume you don't have a second stream of income that's somehow covering the bills. And in that 6 months, you would have paid forward. You'd have found maybe a way to pay forward for those 6 months, and somehow you'd have survived and scraped by. And after that 6 months, you're assuming that there's a paycheck that's going to at least take the weight off your back for a little while.
And a
And
job
when that
too, right?
doesn't happen,
Because
and the job
you're
too.
hoping you get to see your movie in the movies, like you writing it. That's some other guy.
With your name, not some famous guy who just made five changes in 3 weeks and then got the money and the fame and the next bunch of jobs because his name was on the thing. So it's to use a very eloquent way to describe it, it's fucked up, is what it is.
Very fucked up, bro. Very fucked up.
Right. And I mean, personally, I'm really hoping that it gets sorted out for like everyone. And but then again, I'm gonna look at this from an objective standpoint. As much as beautiful as it will be, throwing out the positive vibes and all that, as beautiful as it would be, in the universe for it to be sorted out. It's only getting sorted out for Americans or actors actively working in America. It's going to be a different story for people in Europe, Asia, Africa, Oceania, other regions of the world that I can't know by name. It's going to be different because they will look at it and be like, "Oh man, like, but I heard there was negotiations," and in those other regions as well, it's going to be like, "Oh yeah, that was in North America, bro. What are you talking about?" So it's going to change things for North America, but it ain't changing nothing for everybody else worldwide. I would love it if this situation, with all the exposure that it has on social media and worldwide news, for it to have a ripple effect for the industry in other regions of the world. Closing statement.
That would be epic. That's the real difficult step right there.
That's the real fight.
Do
Man,
you
so.
think we can do it? Do you think we can have a unified union like that actually like fights for like together? Because I don't know if we can do it yet.
I mean, I also don't know if we can do it yet, but considering the planet that we live in, right? I feel like it's far easier than creating the myth that is a world union, right? Like a unified government for the whole world. That shit is impossible. But if we're talking
Hell no,
just
that's never happening.
television, that's never happening. But if we're talking the film and television industry as a whole, I feel like that is a way better shot and way better possibility of it happening, considering that the people that work in it, all their work goes worldwide, irrespective of where in the world you're making it. If you can get it distributed to the world, you're looking to get it distributed to the world.
Yeah,
I
but
think that's
I
that.
think the tough thing will always be the fact that Netflix will always think, also South Africa has a union now. Okay, we're gonna go to another African country, and then that African country gets a union, and they'll go to another place and another place. Just keep looking for places that they could get a cheap way to make money.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. I mean, if there isn't until a point where a world union is made for film and television, so at this point it's just streaming services or Netflix to be more specific. Film companies will always look for a place where they can make it cheaper, because they are aware, they know that there's an overabundance of talent worldwide, and if they can find a place with that overabundance of talent that can do it cheap, they will do it.
Let's pray it happens, brother.
Yeah, for all our sakes. But anyway, I believe, do you have a closing statement, sir?
Fuck the bitch guys. Fuck the bitch guys. pay the writers.
Fuck the rich guys. Pay the writers, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it first here on the Dabblers. I feel like this is the first Dabblers episode, but one of the few where we were like deadly serious. We barely made any jokes here. So I feel like as a listener, if for some reason, good God, I hope you're real. If for some reason you're some regular listener who has been here since day one, and for some reason you found a way to stay, we take this very seriously, because we love this, as unrealistic as it is for us to love an industry that looks this far out of reach. We left the fuck out of this shit, so that's why we took it this seriously.
Dude, all we want is for the industry to actually be a good place to go to, because it's actually sounding like it's just the industry is just upwork with slightly more money.
Upwork with 10 more dollars.
Oh God,
we're doomed.
Oh my gosh, imagine like the first day at work, and then you get the paycheck and you're like, this is Upwork minus the extra steps
plus more and work.
And more work. Alright, oh man, ladies and gentlemen, let me revise. Ladies, gentlemen, and everybody else, this has been the Dabblers, writers, actors, minus the directors, definitely not the producers, strike episode part 2.
Let's go.
He has been the Shogun. Go watch your movies. There's other people that need to get paid.
Go watch their movies, man.
Oh man, I just realized something very terrible. You were recording this, right?
Yep.
Oh,
on my phone. I'm gonna cut it now.